New Office of Personnel Management Director Jeff Pond said it would happen, and it has. OPM has submitted four major legislative proposals that would have a big impact on current and future federal retirees, as well as current and future employees. The proposals went to House Speaker Paul Ryan for his consideration. The American Federation of Government Employees got a copy, and they are not happy. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Nicole Grisco. And boy, they aren't happy, are they, Nicole? What do we know about what Jeff Pond has submitted?
So here's what we know. Jeff Pond, he sent a letter to House Speaker Paul Ryan. The date on the letter is May 4th. He, like you mentioned, describes four major proposals that would impact federal employee retirement. And we've heard about all of these proposals before. In fact, just a day or two ago, I think I detailed them on this very program. But, you know, these aren't necessarily new ideas or concepts. The one new thing about this letter is the detail that it's described. The letter includes legislative language. It also includes dollar amounts as in how much savings it expects that these proposals would return to government here. So that's what we know so far. And right, AFGE is not happy about it and wanted to make sure that everyone knew about these proposals.
Yes. So when Jeff Pond had his conference call with reporters, it was all kind of moonlight and roses, and these are the great ideas. We want to move to the 21st century and yada, yada. Now that they've put it in black and white in the form of proposed legislation, yeah, they've got some cackles up. Well, let's go through each one of them, first of all, and then we'll see what the AFGE is saying.
Right. So, you know, first and foremost, these proposals want federal employees to contribute more toward their retirement. So it would increase, you know, the amount that you would contribute to your annuity about 1% each year until that employee is contributing about half of, you know, the kind of basic rate that they were already receiving. That's one. Again, we saw that in the president's.
Up to half.
Yes.
Yeah.
We saw that in the president's budget proposal this year and the previous year. They want to increase the average pay period to 5 years versus 3 years. And Tom, you have a good explanation for this one.
Yeah, to calculate that annuity. And this is going back to CSRS employees, some of the few that are left, as well as FERS, which is, I think, the larger number now.
Yes, there are more FERS employees than CSRS. And I'm glad you made that distinction because I don't believe that CSRS was included in the president's budget proposal. This includes everybody. So that's an important distinction to make. The proposal also suggests getting rid of the FERS annuity supplement. So again, if you have to retire before you're eligible for Social Security, that's age 62, you get a little something extra that would be gone. It also eliminates the supplementary annuity for survivor annuitants. And there's some detail here and some exceptions, which we're still trying to pick through.
But that high five has never been popular with employees because the presumption is that they make more each year. And so the average is lower over those 5 years than it would be over those 3 years. Hence, long term, you lose out because your annuity is slightly smaller.
Exactly. That's exactly the concept. And the final proposal here is eliminating or reducing the cost of living adjustment. So if you're within FERS, the COLA would be gone. If you're in CSRS, it would be cut in. It would be cut by 0.5% of what you are receiving right now. So those are, in general, what Jeff Pond is suggesting here.
So there's a lot of percentages and 7.25 here and 3.1 there. And when you add it all up, it's really subtracting it all down.
Right. And, you know, in total, I think they, you know, they estimate that this would save about $143 billion over 10 years. And in his letter to House Speaker Paul Ryan, Pond urges, you know, Congress to really consider these legislative proposals. And it's not that they haven't been considering these in the past, but this is the, you know, one of the first times in recent memory, at least, that we're getting a look at the very specific legislative language that's coming directly from the administration.
Yeah, because after the description in the letter to Paul Ryan is the language they need to just drop in. It's a cut and paste mm-hmm. job for Congress, which means the Hill staff somewhere had some hand in this.
Right. And
I'm guessing.
I'm not sure about that. But, you know, OPM has its own legislative staff that I'm sure has been looking at this pretty much probably since the administration suggested these very proposals in those previous budget requests. But, you know, another interesting point to flag here is that the Office of Management and Budget has advised no objection to the transmittal of these legislative proposals to Congress, and that enacting them would, yes, be in accord with what the president has asked. OMB further advises that it's willing to work with Congress to ensure that the deficit savings are realized. Again, that number that we just spoke of, they want to make sure that that essentially goes back to kind of cutting the gap, the raise in the non-discretionary, non-defense discretionary spending caps that Congress just implemented. Essentially, their point here is that this would kind of alleviate some of the spending that we just essentially passed a couple months ago.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco, and as soon as these legislative proposals came out, the AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees, got hold of them, and they have really issued some pretty strong statements. What's the reaction?
Yeah, so AFGE is, is not happy about the about these proposals. And I think we should say that, you know, I think we knew generally that this was coming. Director Pahn intimated in his conversation with reporters that, yes, he would be putting out a lot of legislative proposals. He said the next 6 to 7 months were the time frame that he would really be looking at to get those out there. You know, I will say, though, that I think AFGE received these proposals and put them out there so that we would have these very discussions. They also mentioned in their statement that the administration is interested in including this in the National Defense Authorization Act. I haven't seen any indication of that one way or the other.
That's a big poison pill to go through even that bill.
Yes.
I think.
I mean, the Defense Authorization Act has passed every single year in recent history, I would say. And attaching proposals like this could be, you know, could maybe really hinder some of the debate and discussion in getting that bill through.
Yeah. So AFG is calling these shameful proposals that must be rejected outright. They call it an attack on working people. So they're throwing everything they've got at it.
They are. And, you know, in their legislative rallies and conferences earlier this year, they mentioned, you know, these very proposals that came first from the president himself in that budget proposal, you know, again, for 2018 and 2019. So they knew these were out there and they, you know, they've had the discussion and talking points about them. I don't know if this was timed to coincide with Public Service Recognition Week, but
well, it's recognizing public employees, all right, but not in the way I think the union hoped they would.
No, they're not. And they've, you know, issued many statements also this week about recognizing the good work that federal employees do.
And by the way, have you seen any statement from the White House extolling federal workers during this week of public employee recognition?
Yes, President Trump has issued a declaration recognizing Public Service Recognition Week. Mentioned the president's management agenda in this one.
Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Be sure to check out her story at federalnewsradio.com.